Three, two.
Podcasting from the J&K Twin Studios. This is the show for Reds fans, by Reds fans. Each week, we take a look at the games, the players, and the stories of Cincinnati Reds baseball. Now, your hosts, Scott Evans and Nick Lawson.
And we are back. Two shows in the row for the first time since April. I'm Scott Evans. He is Nick Lawson. And this is the Reds Fans Chatter Podcast, a podcast where we look at the stuff going on in Reds baseball and baseball in general from a fan's point of view. What's going on, man?
I'm just happy to be here.
And then on this show, we'll be talking about some of the moves the Reds have made so far this offseason. We'll be talking with Nate Miller from Last Word on Sports because the Reds made a trade with the Texas Rangers. And Pete Rose is back in the news, and much more. And the Reds made some moves, both adding and subtracting from the 40-man roster, and we'll break that down as well. And I am ready for baseball. This weather sucks.
I'm right there with you, man. This cold weather can go away any day now.
Absolutely. Of course, speaking of which, cold weather always means one thing. Reds Fest is coming back December 4th. Second and third Duke Energy Convention Center. Right now, it's still only Joey Votto, 100% confirmed, for the major leaguers attending.
He's going to be a busy guy all day.
But Jonathan India will likely be there. I don't understand how they're selling elite passes for players that have not confirmed yet.
I think it's a way to get people to pay attention.
That, and, you know, they do the same thing that wrestling does, cards subject to change.
Yeah, after the moves we saw here recently, it's changed.
Yeah, it's definitely changed. And, you know, the worst Reds Fest subject to change had to have been Billy Hamilton getting released on the first day of Reds Fest as it was going, and he was either in an autograph session or getting ready to go to one.
Yeah, you hate to be that guy that looks forward to doing it, and then all of a sudden, poof, you're gone. It sucks.
But yeah, so far, players and staff appearing, I don't think has changed since last week. And the Reds made a trade in the offseason with the Rangers, trading for Nick Solak. And joining us on the phone is Nate Miller from Last Word on Sports. He covers the Rangers for them. How's it going, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good. Exciting for baseball. I mean, I know the World Series was only over with a couple months ago, but it like turned cold all of a sudden, at least here in Cincinnati, and I'm ready for baseball again.
I am too, even though it's a little bit warmer down here in Texas.
Right. So I guess first, tell me, what do you think about the Rangers in their offseason? You know, we focus primarily on the Reds from a fan's point of view, but kind of curious about the American League and the Rangers, where they stand. Are they rebuilding? Are they going to be contending?
It kind of seems like a little bit of both, really. I mean, they've really kind of upped their pitching a little bit. They got Jake Odorizzi, and they just re-signed Martin Perez to a one-year deal today. He took the qualifying offer, so he gets a raise of about $15 million to stay on for another year. And as you said, they traded Nick Solak to the Reds, got cash for him, and I think they're going to be using that to get more pitching, to be honest with you.
So I take it, was pitching like their biggest need in the offseason?
Yes, I think it was. Last year, they spent over $500 million. That's billion with a B. They spent over $500 million on offense. They got Corey Seager. They got Marcus Semien. And those two guys, I mean, they started off slow, but, you know, they kind of ramped it up, you know, after the All-Star break. And but they really didn't go after any pitching last year. So I think that's what they're doing this year.
How was Nick Solak as far as with the fans and kind of what's the reaction from Rangers fans?
You know, I think it's sort of bittersweet. We're going to miss him. The fans are going to miss him. But, you know, fans kind of realize he just didn't get a lot of opportunities to play here, especially when Semien and Seager showed up. So he was hitting – he finished the season hitting 207, I believe it was. And he didn't get a whole lot done, and it's hard to be productive when you just don't get a chance to play. I mean, he was playing maybe 2 days a week, tops. And I think he's going to get a lot more playing time there in Cincinnati.
So what type of player are we going to get to see on the Reds?
You're going to get a guy who can play multiple positions. He plays second base. He plays, I think, all outfield positions. And, you know, he doesn't have, you know, a real power bat, but he can hit for average. He's got a little bit of speed, and he's just a good all-around player. He's not going to blow you away with stats, but, you know, he puts forth effort whenever he gets the chance. And as I mentioned earlier, he just didn't get much of a chance here.
Right. And with the Reds rebuild last year, a lot of trading away a lot of players, they went from having like too many outfielders, not all of them performed well, to really not having enough. So it kind of sounds like he may fit that fourth or fifth outfielder role that guys like Tyler Naquin and Brandon Drury.
What, are the Rangers looking at Jacob DeGrom?
Yes, they are. In fact, they're kind of looking at each other. To my knowledge, Jacob DeGrom informed the Rangers that he was very interested in signing here. In fact, I think he was spotted looking at homes near the Arlington area. So we'll see what happens there.
Oh, wow.
Wow, yeah.
So Rangers definitely sound like they're going to be wanting to take on Houston next year in the division.
Yes, we need to do that.
We will see the Rangers in April here in Cincinnati, by the way.
Nice. Okay.
That'd be cool.
To my knowledge, they didn't play each other in 2022, did they?
Not at all. And no. It's been a couple of years since we played the West. Of course, now baseball is going to everybody playing everybody, and I kind of like it.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to see guys that you never really see.
Right. The Yankees are coming to town to Cincinnati next year, so that's going to be a big – and a weekend series at that. So that's going to probably be the only – other than opening day, the only series that sells out here. But
right.
Seeing the Rangers play, I remember one of my favorite moments, Reds versus Rangers. It's probably 2006, 2005. It's really when the shift first started coming into play, and the Reds, Adam Dunn was up. The Rangers put on a huge shift on Dunn, and he popped it up, landed right behind third base, got a single out of it, which I absolutely loved.
Haven't heard of Adam Dunn's name in quite a while.
He was one of my favorite players, but what do you think about the shift going away? Just kind of some general baseball for next year, world changes.
It puts the guesswork back into the game. I mean, you know, it kind of makes you think a little bit as an infielder and as a hitter for that matter. I mean, you know, you got guys that were used to seeing the shifts. I mean, Joey Gallo, for crying out loud. You had guys that were used to seeing the shift, and now they're going to go back to how you would normally see them, you know, 10, 20 years ago. And so I think players are just going to have to adjust to that. And I think it'll kind of bring some of that aspect into the game as well. You know, this isn't a game of adjustments. And we'll see that more and more.
Absolutely.
Joey Gallo made about 300 now.
that's true.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight, Nate. And where can people find your work, your articles that you write?
Yeah, they can find my articles at lastwordonbaseball.com. It's sort of like, you know, when you go to the homepage, there's the drop down menu, and it's by division. So if you go to AL West, you click on Texas Rangers, and you'll find all of my articles.
Awesome. And I'm sure you're on social media, Twitter, Facebook.
Yes. Twitter, LWOS. Yeah. LWOS Nate M 86.
Awesome. We'll link that up on our social media and in the show notes, but thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on the trade and letting us know what we can expect from Nick next season.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Nate. And Reds Fest coming back December 1st or December 2nd and 3rd. Like we were talking about earlier, Joey Votto, the only major leaguer to be on the list. But joining him, alumni. Last week it was Marty. We have more names, including one that's kind of surprising. Here we go. Billy Dorn. That's not the surprise. Yeah, I think he's been there before. Raleigh Eastwick. Tommy Helms. Tom Hume. Corky Miller. Joe Oliver. Mario Soto's back at Reds Fest this year. Scott Williamson, really cool guy. If you've never had a chance to meet him, definitely would recommend that. And Dave Miley.
Wow. It's the last time we heard of that name.
You know, every year I see someone in the stadium wearing a Dave Miley jersey. That's not Dave Miley.
That's weird.
Yeah. We have coaches too.
Really, there's coaches that didn't get fired. All right.
You know, a couple of these names I don't recognize. I don't know if we somehow missed some hires by the Reds. Kyle Arnsberg and Joel McKeithen.
Don't know who they are, but welcome to Reds Fest.
And David Bell's going to be there. Freddie Benavides, J.R. House, Derek Johnson, and Jeff Pickler.
Now, those are the norms.
Yeah, the broadcasters haven't changed. They were there from the beginning. Minor leaguers, Andrew Abbott, Jay Allen, Edwin Arroyo, Joe Boyle, Tyler Callahan, Cam Collier, Ellie De La Cruz, Christian Encarnacion Strand, Austin Hendrick, Reese Hines, TJ Hopkins, Ricky Karcher, I'm going to butcher this name.
Novi Marte.
Thank you. Well, we have his name coming up a little bit later, too, I think. Alex McGarry, Matt McClain, Connor Phillips, Christian Roa, Sal Stewart, Levi Stout, and Brandon Williamson. So a lot of big prospects and Joey Votto at Reds Fest this year.
I think Ellie De La Cruz will have a big line of fans waiting for him.
Yes. And it's only going to, if he keeps performing the way he does when he gets to the majors, it's only going to get bigger. So if you get a chance at Reds Fest, I definitely take that opportunity. Honestly, I'm surprised the Reds didn't make him one of the Elite Pass signers.
The dude is very multi-talented. He had a great year in the minors. I think we'll see him in the majors this year at some point.
Yeah, I can't imagine him not. I mean, honestly, I would fast track him on opening day, but I'm not the one writing the checks.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a AAA in 2023. He's probably going to kill it.
The Reds like doing the Reds rarely like skipping AA to the majors.
Yeah, we found out with Jose Barrero that was a bad idea.
Yeah, sometimes it's a good idea though. Ken Griffey Jr. comes to mind.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the guys that went from high school to majors, John Olerud.
Yeah. So, but Reds Fest is going to be a lot of fun. Here's my question for Reds Fest, and I don't want to get too far into this. Will Phil Castellini make it out without getting booed out of the building?
No. That's a quick no.
That's a quick. I mean, at some point, he's going to have to address the fans, but that's going to be the very first Reds Fest since COVID. I don't think it would almost be nice if he just stayed in the office someplace.
He has more heat than Roger Goodell.
I mean, Bob's going to get a little bit of it, but Bob didn't say anything stupid.
Not yet.
No, he... You know, he true.
Give it time.
But yeah, Reds Fest, always a good time. And try not to boo too much. Phil Castellini, I don't have as much sympathy for him, but I remember one year, J.J. Hoover was doing like every single photo and autograph session, and then when his name got announced, some Reds fans were booing him. The offseason for players, this is a time to connect with them. If they even if Robert Stevenson showed up, I would not boo him.
I'll throw tomatoes at him.
No. Not at Reds.
I'm not condoning that. Do not do that. But
Reds Fest is a time to put all of that stuff to the side, at least for any players that had a bad year. And you know, hopefully get optimistic for next year. That's kind of what this podcast is about. Not ready to be optimistic yet. We'll get into that after when it gets closer to spring training, but yeah, Red Fest, always an optimistic time, a lot of fun. Definitely head there if you can. It's going to be a fun weekend of baseball. And speaking of fun weekends of baseball, the Reds made some moves today.
That they did.
Do you want to start with who they added? I guess before you can add, you have to take away. So the Reds designated for assignment the following players: Art Warren, who I believe was injured anyway.
That'd be loss.
Jared Solomon.
Didn't see a whole lot of him this season.
Derek Law, no big surprise there. I don't even remember this guy, Cal Doughty or Doughty.
He made about three appearances, something like that.
Jeff Hoffman. He actually pitched really well last year, but kind of faded off towards the end. And, you know, I think he was going to be a third-year arbitration player, so his salary was going to go up. And I think you can find the same production from a much cheaper player, or even him himself coming back on a cheaper contract.
I mean, you still have Buck Farmer, and I think he actually started to get better down the road there. So
right, and TJ Antone's coming back, so... Yeah. And this one, a little bit of a surprise, but not really. Aristides Aquino, the Punisher, has been designated for assignment.
For like the 28th time. Yes.
That's true. He was DFA during the season at least once, if not twice.
I think he was designated for assignment three times.
Was he really?
I think so.
Yeah, it was a weird year because baseball changed the rules because of COVID and bringing people up and down, plus the new collective bargaining agreement. Aristides Aquino, the Punisher, is off the 40-man. And the reason is the Reds had to protect players from the Rule 5 draft. And, you know, when you add a bunch of players like the Reds did last year at the trade deadline, you don't want to lose them to the Rule 5 draft. That would be incredibly stupid.
Yeah, because the guys you're protecting is your future of your team.
Right, so the Reds added to the 40-man roster today Ricky Karcher, who I don't believe was part of any of the trades last year. Don't know much about him. He's a right-handed pitcher. Another right-handed pitcher, Lyon Richardson. Right-hander pitcher that was picked up in some of the trades, Levi Stout. Left-handed pitcher, Brandon Williamson. And then, of course, the two big players, one in a trade. One was part of the Reds organization from the start, Noivelli Marte. And Eli De La Cruz, who I cannot wait to see play.
He's explosive. I'm looking forward to seeing him play.
I think if he does what he did last year again this year and does it in the major league level, he is going to be a guy that potentially could sell tickets just to see him play.
Well, him and Noivelli Marte. Marte's a phenomenal player.
Yeah, I think he kind of falls under the radar just because he was kind of new here, and you know, De La Cruz got all of the press and the hype.
Yeah, Marte came out of that Seattle system, and they had he was one of their top prospects, and now he's here. Who knows, man? That guy's been having a great winter ball league.
Absolutely. So I'm kind of excited for that. You know, this is kind of the hope part of the season with some of these prospects and maybe rookies next year. You don't want to rush them. We've seen that, but when it's their time, it's their time. It's why I hope the Reds, I think they did add a pitcher on a small trade this year, kind of a minor league deal. Nothing really to make big deals, but like the trade for Solak, I like that move just because, like we were talking about, the Reds need a fourth or fifth outfielder, especially after they traded away Tyler Naquin and Brandon Drury last year. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen with Nick Senzel. Solak could outplay Nick Senzel. Senzel started to turn it on a little bit last year, then the injury bug bit him again. His injuries are always where he's going 100% playing hard, but it still sucks for him. He's never really gotten a chance to get into a groove with the Reds just because of injuries and playing time.
I think, so with Senzel, his time is running out, so I think he needs to – he knows he has something to prove still. He's got to stay injury-free. That's his problem.
Right. And then, so, I mean – you know, one thing about this offseason, the Reds have been active. Like we talked with Nate earlier, the Rangers have been active. It's a much more exciting offseason this year than last year. I mean, last year had a flurry of activity right before the strike deadline. And then, but, you know, right before that, there was nothing. And this year, unlike the last few years, it seems like teams are being much more active for whatever reason.
I think because of the lockout. The lockout last year kind of froze any transactions.
Right, and then you had COVID coming off the year before.
Right, and now I think teams are just, they're anxious to get out there and add to their teams.
Well, I guess I think the other part of it is you had agents like Scott Boras that he waits the market out, and it used to be teams wouldn't make the next move until the first big domino fell. And, you know, I think there's some teams, especially ones that are either looking to rebuild or take that next step like the Reds, or teams like the Rangers that are wanting to see if they can contend with like the Astros in their division. I think part of it is they want to go ahead and make the moves now, set it up to where if they do land a player like DeGrom going to the Rangers, they have everything else around there to where that's going to be a contending team. The Reds are not there yet, so we are definitely not saying the Reds are going to be after any major free agents like DeGrom or anyone else. But, you know, this is off season for the Reds. I think they need to get better just to show some support and that they're not going to be tanking year after year like the previous rebuild.
And going over the Rangers for a second, if they do get DeGrom, they could build around DeGrom. They have a foundation to build around, and that's what they need to do. And the Reds have the young players.
Yeah, I mean the foundation isn't there yet, but it very well could be in next year or 2024, 2025. The Reds could have a very good foundation. I mean, unfortunately, Joey Votto probably won't be here in 2025. He might be here in 2024. We'll have to wait and see how he does this year, coming off crazy surgery. We didn't even really talk much about that injury, but Joey Votto playing since 2015 with a partially torn rotator cuff is just incredible, considering he should have been the MVP in 2017 and, you know, had a comeback season in 2021. That's just crazy. And a torn bicep that he didn't even know about until they started looking at his arm for the rotator cuff.
That's crazy. I mean, the rotator cuff, it hurts. And he has to throw with that arm.
Throw with it and hit. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you know, Votto gets a lot of, from some people about, you know, he doesn't hit for power, he walks. But he had a crazy number of home runs in 2017 without looking it up. It was close to 40. Because that season, if it wasn't for Stanton hitting over 50 home runs, Votto would have got the MVP.
Yeah, it's insane to know that he had that rotator cuff injury and then still went out there and had MVP numbers. It's incredible.
Right. It's amazing. So, hopefully, I mean, if he comes back and hits like normal Joey Votto, minus the speed, because he has no speed whatsoever.
No, he runs like I do, and I'm 47.
Yeah, I mean, he used to have some speed, but now that he's approaching 40, I completely understand. He is definitely not going to be leading the league in stolen bases. Not that he ever was, but he has to run smarter, not faster this time. And J.R. House needs to learn that as well on sending him.
Yeah, don't send him on a pop-up. No, that's not a good idea.
Which happened, I think, multiple times the last couple of seasons.
Hey, he's not Billy Hamilton. He's not gonna make it.
Right. So next year, Reds, it's going to be a different team. Hopefully much different and better results. It's going to be tough to be worse. So the bar is set pretty low.
Yeah, I mean, if you can win more than you won this year, it's an improvement. You're getting there.
Yeah.
Play as a team. That's all you got to do.
So, other news off the field and from former Reds players. We'll start with the latest development. Yasiel Puig arrested or pled guilty to tax charges in relation to gambling that he was doing with an illegal bookie, another former Major League Baseball. This thing has scandal written all over it. Beyond Yasiel Puig. Now, from all reports from the Inquirer is that Yasiel Puig was not betting on baseball but other sports and was not reporting it because he was not doing it through legal means.
Can you say stupid?
Well, and on top of it, when the feds came to ask him questions about it, he lied, which is the number one way to get in trouble with the feds.
Even more stupid.
Because the feds already know the answer before they ask you the question.
It's true.
I think Mike Brown beat the feds in tax court. Vince McMahon, the wrestling guy, former wrestling CEO of WWE, he beat the feds on much more serious charges. But very few people beat the federal government when they come after you on charges. They usually don't come to that point unless they are 99% sure they'll win in court. So, and Puig, he wasn't too smart. I mean, Pete Rose, who we'll talk about in a second, that's what he got in trouble for too, was tax evasion on his illegal bets.
Yeah, and he went to jail for it.
He did. Puig pled guilty, so maybe there's some thoughts that he won't see jail time, but, the feds usually don't give get-out-of-jail-free cards, so we'll see. He'll definitely have to pay it back. I guarantee he'll get the full $50,000 fine.
I have no doubt.
He's signed to play in Korea. That could probably jeopardize that. So, yeah, completely stupid. And unfortunately, with the expansion of sports gambling, which I'm not against, I can just see some more of this happening, even though it'll be legal, so the tax part shouldn't, but it's still crazy that there's going to be a sports book in GABP next year to bet on baseball games while you're in stadium.
Yeah, it'll be weird to know that it's there. I don't gamble myself, but yeah.
Yeah, well, speaking of gambling, I am going to do one thing next year that's going to pit the world might explode, but... I do not have very good luck with gambling, so I don't gamble. So I am going to put the minimum bet every game for the Reds to lose. So one of two things is going to happen. The Reds are either going to go 162-0, or I will finally actually make money on betting.
You may break even.
Hey, that would be 81-81. That would be a huge improvement. So the forces of nature, the Reds and their rebuild versus my gambling luck.
81-81, I'd take that.
Absolutely. We are not predicting that, by the way.
No,
we're not predicting 0-162, and we're not predicting 162-0. It's just kind of a joke for those that don't understand humor.
There's plenty out there. But
yeah. And finally, the other thing in the news this week, Pete Rose wrote another letter to Rob Manfred. We're not going to read the entire thing. Basically, this is the closest Rose has actually gotten to say, I screwed up, please forgive me, without any money being attached to it. I still don't think it's going to be enough for baseball to change their mind about Pete Rose. I do think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't care about the off-field stuff, because if you start applying the morality to every player that's ever played the game, you're going to have to be taking down a lot of statues and plaques that are inside that Hall of Fame, because there are some people that had very poor characters, including Ty Cobb, who, of course, Pete beat his hit record.
Well, Ty Cobb had an off-field altercation. Well, actually, no, he had a altercation in the stands. He beat up a cripple. So nobody looks at that and goes, "Oh, he should not be in the Hall of Fame." Well,
right,
yeah, he's there. Pete should be there because he's the hit king.
Right, it's. He needs to be there. Barry Bonds should be there. I know there's the PED scandal, but he was never suspended by baseball for it.
Same for Roger Clemens.
Same with Roger Clemens. Curt Schilling. I know there's probably some politics involved, like the actual politics, that we're not going to get into at all. No. But there's probably some of that involved with him, plus the steroids. I mean, players from that era outside of Griffey Jr., all unfairly or unfairly have kind of a cloud on them.
They do. And Bonds is he's the home run king, and he should be there. That's all I'm going to say.
Yep. So I don't want to end the show on that. So let's find something fun to talk about really quick, and that is be sure to follow us on our Reds Fans Chatter Facebook page and Facebook group. The goal is through this off season to kind of show videos and stuff with some of your favorite players, post our podcast and much, much more, just to, get through baseball when it's 20 degrees outside.
It may not be 20 degrees, but it feels like 20 degrees.
It's going to be 20 degrees this weekend. I think I heard it may not even get out of the teens overnight.
I don't want to hear that. I got one more thing.
Okay.
November 15th, 1995, Barry Larkin's named National League MVP.
Oh, awesome. I think that's a perfect way to end the show. And Barry, you're not on the Reds Fest list for broadcasters or alumni. Get to it, man.
Come on, Barry. We want to see you there.
Until next week, go Reds.
Go Reds.